into the hands of a child. Each prayer touches hearts here and across the world, bringing joy, love, and the message of Jesus Christ.
Good evening. How's everybody doing? Good, good. I like talking to you when I'm not in here. That's my little game I do. But it is good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. Had that little bit of a rainstorm just a little bit ago, and you would think it'd cool things down, but how things have been. It's been really, really steamy out there. I think someone just said it made it worse. It probably did make it worse for sure. But anyway, it is good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody's had a good week so far. And we'll jump right into things tonight. I did want to read a card. I meant to read this on Sunday morning, but it's from Miss Cece. So it says, to all my CBC family, words cannot express our grateful appreciation for all the help and love provided to me last Sunday. All your prayers since have indeed been answered. I am doing so much better and will continue to do so. We love all of you and know we are blessed by each of you. God is amazing. Cece and Chuck. So I'm sure they're watching tonight on Facebook. So God bless you, Miss Cece, Brother Chuck. We love you both. So glad you're doing better, and it's so good to see you this past Sunday morning back in church. And while we're addressing Facebook, good to have everybody watching and our audience online, and appreciate you tuning in tonight. We'll say that at the conclusion of the service, we will have just one order of business and a special called conference. So remember that tonight, and it won't be long at all. So I will go ahead and say this. I'm pretty sure most everybody got the column post. Did everybody get the column post about the passing of Brother Leonard? Okay. Oh, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. Okay. Anyway, Brother Leonard did go home to be with the Lord on Tuesday night. And I still haven't heard arrangements yet, but I will let you know as soon as we receive them. And if you receive them, just let me know. That way we can stay connected as to what's going on and all. But their son, Lynn, called me yesterday evening and told me about his passing. And so just remember Miss Dolores, Lynn, and Kim and family during this time. And I do know he's going to be at Clark Funeral Home here in Hiram at Clark. And if I had a guesstimate, I would say probably Friday or Saturday. That's just my guesstimation, but I'll put out another call post and let everybody know, and I'll make sure y'all's number is in there. Some reason it does that. It just has a mind of its own. It says, I'm going to kick you out and kick you out. So, but and while we're talking about the call post, if anybody didn't get one, just let me know that, okay? Or if you want another phone number to be rang when you get a call post, a cell phone, a home number, just let me know, and we'll get that taken care of. We definitely want you to get the message, okay? So let's remember the Palmers, Miss Dolores in our prayers, and family. Mary Kelly, as she continues to get better from her operation. I haven't personally spoke with her. Has anybody spoke with Miss Mary Kelly? Miss Mary? Okay. Is she? Okay, good. Yeah. Is she at home or rehab? Okay. Yeah. It's a one-level building, I think. Okay. Yeah. I got a message from her the other day, and it says, I'm not in therapy. But maybe. Okay. Okay. Well, let's remember her, if you would, in prayer. Then, of course, James Townsend, Miss Shirley, Lucy Godfrey and her sister, Diane Ely. I was messaging with Randy Ely yesterday, I believe it was, and Miss Diane still has some antibiotics to take for her infection, her situation, and but she is slowly doing better. Her surgery was a while back, and so she is still rebounding from that. But let's remember her prayers. And of course, Miss Sharon, good to see her. And you're getting ready to have surgery soon. It was hernia, now it's gallbladder. That's the culprit. Okay. Gallbladder surgery. Don't have a date yet. Okay. Well, we will certainly remember you on that. Miss Brooke, she was Dakota's Brooke. She was in the hospital, I believe it was yesterday. She's had a series of migraines here lately. So just remember her in prayer if you would. And I believe because of this, they're having to postpone their ceremonies, their wedding ceremony. She needs to get better. So praying for them. Keep them in your prayers if you would. Let's remember our children's home, Don and Carla Rich, Miss Connie Teague, Carrie Bennett, Harold Dolph, and his granddaughter, Anna Kate. Remember Miss Claudia. Also remember, Miss Emily McCrickard. Miss Claudia called me today. Her daughter, Emily's daughter, Emily McCrickard's daughter, needs prayer. And so if you would remember her, that would be great in prayer. And then, our shut-ins, of course, Miss Joyce Manning, and then Miss Emily McCrickard, James Tolan Brown in the Marines, Jamie Carden in the Air Force. Do we have any other prayer requests tonight? Any updates? Anything to mention, Hassan? All right. Okay. Well, let's remember Hassan on this. Anybody else? All right. Let's remember Ella Louise, Nancy Bobby's granddaughter, have an ACL surgery. Next Tuesday. Anybody else? All right. Well, it is good to be here tonight, and do want to send out an early birthday wish. I believe tomorrow is somebody's birthday whose name starts with B. Bobby. Bobby's birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday, Brother Bobby. Brother B, happy birthday. Happy early birthday. Also tomorrow is Gracie's birthday. Brooke's daughter, Gracie. Her birthday's tomorrow. So happy birthday to these. We love you and appreciate you. Hope you have a great birthday. All right. Just a couple things. OCC, Operation Christmas Child. Tomorrow at 1:00, Fellowship Hall, remember that. And of course, VBS coming up before you know it, a little bit late in July. But one of the good things about having a late VBS is that everybody else's VBS is already over. And so, but that will be Sunday, July 20th through Wednesday, July 23rd. Just remember that. All right, anything else to mention? Okay, well, all that would, meet us in the altar. Have a time of silent prayer together. You can pray where you're at, wherever you feel most comfortable. We'll be just fine. And good to see Miss Tammy tonight, BJ. appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Sweet hour of prayer. Prayer is sweet when we get locked in, isn't it? Doesn't matter what's going on around us. It will allow us to escape the tempter's snare for just a little while. And appreciate that song tonight, Brother Jeff. And again, it's good to be here. Good to see Miss Tammy with us. Dropping in on us, always a blessing to have her come through. And Galatians chapter number 2 tonight for a few moments. Galatians chapter number 2 is where we're going to be. Galatians chapter number 2, in just a few moments we're going to read verse number 20, and we will visit other places, but I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll introduce the subject tonight. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for strength that you give. We thank you, Lord, for times of solace, times where there's peace flowing like a river. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart. God, help me get out of the way. I pray that the truth from your word is lifted from the pages of your word. Communicate it, Lord, to those that are here, to those watching and listening online. I pray by the time we leave tonight, we would be encouraged, strengthened, and maybe even challenged a little if we need it, but change definitely. We love you tonight and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen. One of the most challenging parts of the Christian life is, in my estimation, is learning to die to self. Learning to die to self. Has anybody mastered that tonight? I mean, you have just mastered this thing called dying to self. Anybody? Didn't think so. I've been saved for going on, over 20 years, and I know some have been saved probably 2 and 3 times that amount here tonight, but I don't know. I feel like I'm just now scratching the surface on how to die to myself so Christ can live through me. It's definitely a learning curve, isn't it? But one of the most challenging parts of the Christian life is learning to die to self. In a world that encourages self-promotion, self-will, and personal gratification, it's certainly countercultural, this notion of dying to self. Yet Jesus, he desires that we follow him and experience his peace and understand his purposes. All of this is accomplished when we die to self. You know, self wants to do its own thing. Self wants to stay on an ego trip. Self wants to pat itself on the back, and self wants to be comforted, and self wants all of these experiences. But if we've been born again, if we have trusted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, why, that's just the getting started point. That's the train that we get on, and it goes beyond that. You know, we get saved so that we can go to heaven one day, but we're still here on earth. And there's still a purpose for us. There's still a path for us. It's not just, well, let me get saved so I can escape hell. No, it's get saved. It's trust Jesus as your Savior and then walk with Him and talk with Him, experience Him, touch other lives. That's what it's all about. It's not just getting saved, but it's following Him. It's not just accepting Him as Savior, but allowing Him to be Lord. You know, that's a topic that's not preached about much nowadays, is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Tonight it's about following Him, experiencing the things He wants us to experience. And all of this comes by death to self. Death to self means this. It means putting to death our sinful desires in human pride. That's what death to self means. Putting to death our sinful desires and human pride. Paul says that this is something that I have to do daily. He says, I die daily. I wish this was a one-time transaction. You know, wake up in the morning and say, okay, I'm dying to self, and that's it. No more, it's done. But that's not the case. It is a daily thing. We have to die daily. It's allowing the life of Christ to, I like this word, dominate. Dominate every aspect of our lives so that His will becomes our will. Is Christ dominating your life tonight? You say, well, yes, Brother Justin, I've been saved. That's not what I'm asking. Salvation is the first step. Salvation is great. But I'm talking about being a disciple. I'm talking about the great adventure. I'm talking about walking on water. I'm talking about watching the part in the Red Seas of life. I'm talking about trusting God when the resources are low. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just allowing Christ to dominate our thinking, to dominate our circumstances, every aspect of life, allowing Jesus to dominate so that His will becomes ours. Now, that's the road less traveled tonight. Everybody wants to be saved. I mean, you know, if you ask everybody, everybody is saved. You go to Walmart, you stick a microphone, you're recording, you got a video camera. Hey, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. Everybody's saved. You know that, right? Everybody's saved. Everybody wants to get saved, and everybody wants God to bless. And listen, I want God to bless. Absolutely, I do. I want God's peace, and I want all of those things. But the Bible still says, let us take up our cross daily. Follow Him. The cross being a symbol and a sign of death and suffering. If there is anything that's not taught or preached in our day, in the church age we're living, that much is death to self. We have iPads and iPhones. And if you got one of those, I'm not being ugly or unkind, but it's funny how those things are called I this, I that. We're living in an I world. I have an Android phone, and I'm not knocking anybody who has an iPhone. I'm not. My daughter has an iPhone. But you take a look at the logo, and listen, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize. I'm not trying to look into something that's not there, but there's an apple. And there's a chunk bit out of that apple. Okay? Why is that apple got a chunk bit out of it? Because it goes back to the Garden of Eden. That's why. I'll have the very thing I'm not supposed to have. You know, you can eat of every tree of the garden, but that one in the middle, if you eat, the devil comes along and says, if you eat that tree, like God, He don't want you to eat from that tree. God said, don't eat of that tree. Well, my apple, my way, my life. And listen, you can find fault with just about anything like that, but truly, we are living in a self-inflated world. And those who follow Jesus, it is the road that's less traveled. So all of this, understanding His will, experiencing His peace. All of this comes by way of death to self, allowing Christ to dominate every aspect of our lives. Now, I will say that many believers struggle with spiritual stagnation. Spiritual stagnation, and it's because they have not truly surrendered themselves to Jesus. And again, this is done each and every day. It's not a one-time transaction. It's after salvation. It is a death to self daily. It's a deciding to let Christ dominate everything about you. So tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to speak on that subject. Learning to die to self. Learning to die to self. The goal in this lesson is to help us better understand how this is done. Now, I know I'm preaching, I'm teaching, I'm speaking to a group that knows the Bible, studies the Bible, and listen, I'm preaching to a choir tonight, so to speak. But it all is a good refresher for us tonight for all of us. It's a good reminder about self and how to allow the Lord to dominate. Learning to die to self requires, number one, an understanding of what dying to self means. If we're going to learn to die to self, it requires an understanding of what dying to self means. Now, we're in Galatians chapter number 2. Notice verse number 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so, learning to die to self requires an understanding. What does this even mean, dying to self? Well, the Bible tells us here that we, our old self, who we were before salvation, has been crucified with Christ. Dying to self means crucifying the old man and surrendering completely to God's will. At salvation, our old man was nailed to the cross. That's what he says. I am. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. The same way that Christ died upon the cross, whenever Paul says, whenever I accepted Jesus, I'm identifying myself with that death. It's identification. I am crucified. Everything about me has died. I am crucified with Christ. So our old man was nailed to the cross, and now we live a new life. We go by a new set of principles. That is, it's a faith life. It's principles of faith. And so our old man was nailed to the cross, and now we live by faith in the Son of God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so learning to die to self requires an understanding of what dying to self means. And dying to self means that we were crucified with Christ. Our old man died at salvation. Now we live a new life. It's a life of faith. Now, you don't have to turn there, but I'll give it to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away. The old man, the old affections and lust of the old man, the past sins present sins, future sins, all those sins are gone. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Someone that gets saved will have a new life, new desires, a new demeanor, new direction. The former person has died. They have now been spiritually resurrected. That is the only way to explain what happens when someone gets born again and there's a change in their life, is that they have died and they have been spiritually resurrected. I remember after I got saved, November 19th, 2002, sometime after that, I seen an old friend in a store, and they said, hey, they called me by my nickname. One of them out of many was Boots. Hey, Bootsy. I said, no, it's not Bootsy. It's not Boots anymore. I got saved. My life is different. And truly, that's the only way to explain what happened to me, is that I died. Listen, I have new desires. I have a new demeanor. I have new direction. And Jesus is in me, and he's trying to poke out of me. And same goes for you. Jesus, he comes on the inside, and he wants to poke out to the outside. I like what Romans 6:6 says. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter number 6. And again, we're still talking about our first point, an understanding of what dying to self means. Romans 6:6. Love Romans 6. Of course, this is Paul, and he's talking about the old life, the new life. He says in verse 6, Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so here we see again that the old man, the Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, you see, the power of sin has been broken. I like what Bill Stafford used to say. He said, when I got saved and when you got saved, God knocked the gear shifter of sin from drive to neutral. There was a time in my life where sin was in drive. Did what I wanted to do, whatever way I wanted to feel, I went after it. But since I've been saved, since I got saved, something happened. Justin died. The old man died, and the body of sin was destroyed. Now, I can still sin. Ask Christy, ask Lily, and ask Cooper. You say, who's Cooper? Cooper's my dog. He knows me better than anybody. I can still sin. You can still sin. But you see, sin is not in the driver's seat anymore. And that's the only way to explain how I got from the shape I was in November 19th, 2002 to the shape I'm in now, 2025, which is a little bit heavier. But I like to think a little bit more pure. Been walking with Jesus a while. And that's the only way that I can say that my life has gotten better. I've been following Jesus, and the body of sin has been destroyed. I can still sin, but because I died with him and I was spiritually resurrected, I have the ability not to sin. Now, when you get to talking about things like this, you kind of, it can gender a lot of questions. There's a book that when I first got saved, I read by Andrew Murray. Has anybody ever heard of Andrew Murray? Author, I mean, Puritan. Andrew Murray, he had a book out called Absolute Surrender, and that's one of the first books I read when I got saved. of course, along with my Bible. But Andrew Murray, he was talking about the deeper life, and he was talking about walking with God and experiencing His peace and knowing His will. And I can remember a line in there he said, and it did create some questions, but I got it all ironed out. What can God not keep you moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year? Can you not lean on Him during the hour of temptation and say no to sin moment by moment? And so, you know, the truth of the matter is we eventually will sin, but I feel like spiritual maturity is sinning less and less. But that always stuck with me. And truly tonight, all these years later, yes, God can keep me moment by moment, day by day, week by week. Are you talking about sinless perfection? No, I'm not talking about that. There's nobody sinless, and we cannot achieve sinless perfection. But because of our position in Christ, because we died to self, we were spiritually resurrected. Sin is not in the driver's seat. We don't have to be under sin's domain anymore. What a blessing tonight. Okay, so learning to die to self requires an understanding of what dying to self means. The old man was crucified at salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And again, our verse here, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I like what Colossians 3:3 says. It says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So again, those old friends of mine, when they call me by my old nickname, they seen some. What they saw is a life that's being hid, because the words that came out of my mouth and what I was saying to them did not go along with the old Justin that they knew. You see, my life is hid and has been hid for over 20 years. If you're saved, your life is hid with Christ in God. You are one with Him. You know, that's another verse that says that eternity starts now. Our life is hid with Christ in God. That means that I'm one with the Father. I'm bone of His bone, part of His. I don't have to wait till eternity. It's now. We are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Thank God that the day comes that I die, Jesus prolongs His coming, I will die being hid. I will die. That old man is hid. The old Justin is hid. He's gone. This is the new Justin. This is the new you. What a blessing it would be to die hid. Because that means that we are part of Him. That means we are close to Him. That means we are positioned with Him. Talking about learning to die to self. And we've got to understand the very starting point of this. And that is, there was a crucifixion that occurred at salvation. I want to go a step further. Not only an understanding of what dying to self means, but learning to die to self, there's an undergoing of death to self. There's an undergoing. Luke 9:23, if you would. Luke 9:23. Again, death to self is not just a one-time transaction thing. It is in salvation, but now we've moved on from that. Now we're talking about a daily walk. There is a daily death to self. Luke 9:23. And He said unto them, and He said to them all, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me." Not only we need to understand that when we get saved, we died to ourself, but also we are required to deny self daily if we want to follow Him. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Christianity isn't about convenience, but it's about a crucible. Christianity isn't about convenience, but a crucible. Let me give you the definition of the word crucible. Listen to this. The crucible is a situation of severe trial, or which different elements interact, leading to the creation of something new. Are you in heaviness tonight? Are you experiencing a time of your life that is so uncomfortable and you feel like you're in a vice, you're in a crucible? Could it be that this trial, this situation that you're in is God using different elements to interact, leading to the creation of something new? I believe God is. I believe God is working all things together for good. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we mentioned that a moment ago, but not only old things are passed away, but there are some things that are still becoming new each and every day. We are evolving, and God is using the good, the bad, the ugly. We are undergoing death to self. And so going after Jesus, it isn't about convenience, but true Christianity is about a crucible. It's about taking up that cross, that symbol of suffering and shame. Sometimes the cross gets heavy. We sang about it in the choir, through the fire. You know, sometimes the cross gets heavy. Sometimes we're under the weight that we're trying to follow Jesus and we're trying to do what's right, and everybody else is doing what they want to do, but here we are, we're just under it. We're under it. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. The best place for a Christian to be is under the weight of His cross. That's the best place for us to be. It is under the heaviness of His hand, surrendered, totally surrendered to the Lord and His will. That's where we need to be. It's the crucible. The crucible. Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants our all to be upon the altar. Easier preached than lived, of course, but it must be preached. Paul there is telling us, based upon all the good things that God has done and how merciful He has been, this is the one thing that's acceptable. Let's just start here, he says. Let's put our all on the altar. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, a lot of people, they would, oh, whatever God wants me to do, I'll go to Africa and live for Him. Well, that's great. What about this? What about just reading your Bible? What about just praying? Oh, I'll walk up the side of a mountain on my knees for God. I'll do all these great big things for God. How about this? How about just say, God, whatever you want. He says that's the most reasonable thing to do. Don't go walking up the side of no mountain. Don't go moving off to Africa, you know, unless God wants you to. Don't do any of those things. Just simply say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. God, dominate me. Dominate my mind. Dominate my heart. And when we do that, I just really feel like, based upon Scripture and the principles of God's Word, when we do that, His will be our will. His will be our will. We're surrendered. We're living each day. I mean, we're going to work. We're doing our responsibilities. We're going to the grocery store. We're not just locked in a, you know, in a space of prayer and studying the Bible 24/7, 365. No, we're going about our day. We're doing what we're supposed to do, but God is directing our steps. We're asking Him to dominate our life. We're taking up our cross. We're following Him. And in return, His will becomes our will. So there's an undergoing of death to self. Also, 2 Timothy 2. Turn there for a moment, if you would. 2 Timothy 2. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. Sharing in Christ's death prepares us to share in His glory. 2 Timothy 2:11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. We believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. What do we see there? We see that sharing in Christ's sufferings, the weight of our burdens, following Him, this prepares us to a day that's coming when we're going to share in His glory. We'll be able to rejoice with Him one day. So there's an undergoing of death to self, learning to die to self. But then I want to mention this. There's a uniqueness of death to self. Something's produced, something happens when there is daily death to self. A person who is dead to self and practices daily self-denial will exhibit certain characteristics. Death to self and self-denial will manifest godly character. Philippians 2:3. Follow along on the screen or just turn your Bible, whatever is easiest for you. Philippians 2:3. Listen to this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What does that mean? It just simply means selfless service replaces pride and competition. When we die to self, when we strive to serve others, when we strive to crucify self and strife and vainglory, and we begin to esteem each other, why, there's these Christ-like characteristics that exhibit. Selfless service replaces pride and competition. You'll come across somebody that says they're a Christian, or they says, yeah, I'm a Christian and I'm sold out to God, but yes, yet they're prideful, or they have this spirit of competition. You know, that's anti-Christ. Christ is one who esteems others. He's the one who encourages others. And so a unique characteristic of death to self is selfless service. Selfless service. Galatians 5:24. Listen to this. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affection and lusts. A unique thing that surfaces to one who is dying to self daily is carnal desires do not rule their life. He says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affection and lust. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If truly our old man is dead, and the affections and lusts and carnal desires, all those things have died, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. When we say we're saved and we've been born again, we are saying that we've been saved by the Spirit of God. We are saying that we live in the Spirit. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. There's a lot of Christians who say they're saved, but they're living defeated lives. They're not walking in the Spirit as they have been saved. They may be living in the Spirit. They may be saved by the grace of God, saved by the Spirit. The Spirit may be in them, but they're not walking in the Spirit. So a uniqueness of death to self has to do with carnal desires not having rule over a person's life. Again, we're not talking about perfection tonight, but we are talking about lordship. And it's a thing that needs to be taught more and more, not less and less. Okay, 1 Peter chapter number 2. Listen to this. 1 Peter 2, verse number 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. A dead man doesn't retaliate. He entrusts everything to God. We have been crucified with Christ, and we die to self daily. And when we do that, we won't seek revenge or retaliation. Now, that's easier preached than lived, I'll tell you. You know? I still live in this flesh, and one of my first responses God's been trying to get out of my life since I've been saved is when someone does me wrong, not to want to do them wrong. And I always tell myself, now, I can retaliate, I can, but I have to be willing to apologize. And so I'm learning that it's just not even worth it going there. You know, just allow God and trust the Lord. Commit that thing to God, because He's the one who judges righteously anyway. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So, a uniqueness of death to self is a person who does not retaliate, but yet they entrust everything to God. I'll leave you with this tonight. 1 John 2:6, the epistles of John, 1 John. A uniqueness of death to self is just living as Jesus lived. He becomes our pattern. 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. If we're saved and if we're choosing to die daily, then that means we're going to be picking up our cross daily. We're going to be following him. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean there's no pain involved. But it does mean that somebody will say, you know what? They're suffering and not quitting. They're going on and they're not fainting. There's something about that. Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fire and seen a fourth man. And so something unique about the learning how to die to self is that people will see Jesus in you. And the crucified life is just living as Jesus lived. He becomes our pattern. So he says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. And so there's a uniqueness of death to self. There is an undergoing of death to self. And then there's an understanding of what dying to self means. That's the lesson tonight, learning to die to self, something that is so hard to do, but I believe it is the key. If you want to be first, you've got to be last. If you want to get up, you've got to get down. You know what I'm talking about. Again, I'm speaking to the season tonight, but I just believe that sometimes it's good to refresh ourselves on these simple subjects, and I hope that you got something out of it tonight. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the lesson. We thank you, God, for all things. I pray that you would be with us in the next few moments as we enter into conference. I pray that you will be honored and glorified out of everything. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, guys back there in the room, if